Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. As he joins us, we were just starting without him, but this is our under the radar.
Rocket Miller from Rocketeer.org.
I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. We got David Griggs and David Dorman up top with me. Jocelyn, get down below, and we're just saying we're going to start without him and let him jump in whenever he has. He's just jumping in now as he loads in. But Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org joining us as well. Maybe, maybe not. We'll see if we can get him up here on the screen. But this is our under the radar report. So Griggs, while Rocco loads in, tell everyone what under the radar is about.
The layman's definition is that it is the 22 regular one bid leagues. We've actually upped it to 23 this year because the Atlantic 10 falls into that category. There's no rule that says they only get one bid. It's just that's all they typically get. So it's not the Power Five conference. Which is the Big East, Big Ten, or I'm sorry, not the Big East. It's the Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, and SEC, nor is it the four other regular multi-bid leagues, which is the Big East, the West Coast, the Mountain West, and the American. It's everybody else. That's what it is. The other disqualifier is if you're in the top 25, you will not be on the show. Chad, we've had a crazy night last night and the night. We're not talking about very much of it, though.
Right, and the one there is a team that's disqualified out from the show. Actually, Florida Atlantic moved back into the polls in Conference USA, at least in one of the two polls. So we'll discuss the rest of CUSA. We're going to pretend Florida Atlantic doesn't exist, or at least we're not going to do much discussion about them. We did discuss them Monday night during the Hoops HD report. So if you want to hear about those other leagues, not that we don't like them, there's another podcast for them. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. What we do is we go through all these conferences kind of in an alphabetical order, other than we like to do a feature conference. And I keep a chart all season long of which conferences we've featured. As we get further and further in the season, there's less and less to look at. I was a little surprised one that wasn't checked off, though, yet this year, because it's one that typically we feature fairly early in most seasons. But I thought it'd be a good night to take a little closer look at the Southern Conference, especially in light of what's been going on tonight. And Rocco Miller just joining us, and I know he was watching the major upset that happened tonight to start things off with one of the three teams that entered the day tied for first place, Furman, going down with a loss to Citadel.
Yeah, Furman entered the night, Chad, with an 8-game winning streak and seemed to be cruising through this league. The Southern Conference right now ranked 19th out of 32 leagues, very uncharacteristic. I think they've been either 12th or 13th or higher in about 5 or 6 straight years. So this is a major drop off this year. Obviously some of the talent getting pillaged away from the bigger leagues, and of course Lamont Paris leaving Chattanooga last year and taking the South Carolina job might have had some impact as well. But the Citadel, I mean, we haven't heard a lot from them this year. They are at 5-10 now after tonight's upset. Just played a really clean game. I think they only turned it over 8 times. They created some Furman turnovers and they capitalized. The final number was 14-2 points off turnovers in favor of the Bulldogs. And, they kept it close throughout. I actually turned it on very early in the game. And I figured, by halftime, I'd switch it to something else. And it stayed on the whole time. It never needed to leave.
I did the same thing with Louisville tonight. So, hey.
Next time, starting the SoCon, it's a better path.
You're
But
right.
anyway, great, great win for the Citadel. And the loss, we had a three-way tie coming into tonight. Now it's down to Samford and UNCG. And as we speak,
Just went
Samford just
final.
won. Big 12-point win. The Bulldogs, who were in control early in this race when they started 6-0, are back in control about a month later. So congrats to Samford for now.
Yeah, and a one game lead with 3 games to go.
Yeah, getting down to it.
Right. And Dorman, with Samford now in the lead here. And this is a conference that we'd normally pay for 13 line at worst, maybe 12 line even. Where are you pegging this conference? Be it Samford, Greensboro, or Furman, assuming one of those three come out of Asheville as the conference tournament champion.
Again, I'm on the 15 or 16 line. But the winner of this conference is going to have some major momentum. You're going to hear me say this a lot tonight, but this is a very difficult conference tournament coming up. Yep, everyone's going to like Samford, maybe Greensboro and Furman, but believe me, everyone besides BMI is going to have their best effort and can beat anybody on any other night. It's going to be a fantastic run here.
Something else to watch, and we got a lot to get to. I know we got to keep it moving, but it is possible what we all want to see. Can the Citadel, just one game back of seventh place, can we get one more Citadel VMI game?
Hey, very possible. Actually, the
Yeah.
Citadel is striking just at that sixth seed, which would even give them the first round bye, but they've got to move up, but a few games left here to do that in. But like as you said, it should now be Samford in sole possession, Greensboro and Furman tied for second place. Slicka, the other big advantage, though, you get that first place finish in this conference regular season. The other two teams have to go through each other in the semifinals to meet you.
Yeah, so in this case, we're not going to be looking for green eggs and Sam in the semifinal. We're going to be looking for green eggs and Furman right here.
Yes.
Started, Chad.
Upcoming schedule, like I said, that game for tonight is final. Just didn't quite make it to the screen. But Greensboro's got a trip to Chattanooga and a home game against Western Carolina. Samford's at VMI and at Chattanooga. So both two of the three leaders going through Chattanooga this weekend, this upcoming week. While Furman, it looks like they have East Tennessee State and Mercer at home, the easiest path of those teams, at least, Griggs.
Yeah, I would say so.
At least for this week, the next
For
two
this
games.
week, yeah.
Not that there's much left in the season here. I got to remind you, we are getting down to the
Yeah.
nitty-gritty of it here.
Yeah.
And of course, the easy one to circle is the final day of February 25th, a week from Saturday. Samford and Furman will meet.
Right.
And so, the first round, Furman beat them up pretty good. Actually, that was an overtime game. I take that back.
Yeah, I was going
But
to say that was a great game.
it was a great game. Yeah. So,
Yeah.
again, it could come down to that last day. Greensboro just hoping they, Samford needs to get upset probably another time besides that.
Yeah, but that game at Furman, by the way, and that could be the deciding factor for the one seed, that game coming up to end the regular season.
It'll actually be in Birmingham, Chad.
Oh, you're right. Yes, it is in Birmingham. Thank you.
No problem.
I saw that as I was looking at it. I said it backwards.
I almost did the same
So,
thing.
let's go ahead and hit the rest of the conferences here. And Sleek, let's start things off in the America East, where we've now got a two-game lead for this Vermont team that a lot of us gave up for dead earlier in the year, and here they are. They just keep winning.
I don't think the biggest surprise is so much Vermont. I mean, they did start off a little slow in non-conference play. We saw UMass Lowell get off to, they actually had the sterling non-conference season. I think the surprise here is Binghamton, who suddenly snuck into second place and has a couple wins against Albany and NJIT right here. I still don't think they're going to be able to catch Vermont at this point.
Catching Vermont for the regular season, no. But as we do know, Griggs, that we are playing for home court advantage in this conference tournament.
Yeah, and that's where sort of the logjam between two, Binghamton, Lowell, Bryant, UMBC all comes in. Getting two and getting the host of that semifinal game is a huge advantage. Something else to kind of keep an eye on. Vermont can clinch, I believe, first place with all the tiebreakers with one more win, if I'm not mistaken, and if not, definitely with two more. The other thing, Albany needs to get up to eighth place. They can actually be eliminated if Maine beats them on Saturday. Is that correct?
I don't have all the math. We will double check that. But if you look up top here, we have our tournament survival board. You may see teams start fall off that in some of these conferences that do not take the entire league into the conference tournament, such as the America East. It only takes 8 out of 9. The Dorman, the upcoming. Ooh, we got an error there. Let's try that again. Upcoming schedule here in the America East should be popping up here. Vermont's at NJIT and hosting Binghamton this week.
Yeah, those are the big ones. Vermont is on an incredible run here. Just I want to say a month ago, under the radar, and Chad, you asked me what stands out, and Vermont was at the bottom of this list at like 2-5 or something in the conference. They've run off about 8 in a row. And like Greg said, the key is that final championship game on ESPN is on the home court of the higher seed. Vermont is all but locking this up if they can get another win or two. And they're really, really well coached. Becker does an incredible job. They're senior laden. They got great guards. I love great guards in March. And if Vermont gets this on their home court, look out. I like Vermont. Catamounts are rolling.
Yeah, 8 wins in a row. And Rocco, let me just ask you this quickly, same question I asked in the SoCon. Vermont, a team we normally see 3 13, 14 line is. So they're a little below that this year if they win this, aren't they?
Right now, yeah, I think they're stuck in the 15 range as we speak. Again, as you go through the bracket exercise at this time of year, you're comparing them to a bunch of other 20-plus league leaders. That's not going to be the case on Selection Sunday. They'll be compared to maybe 10 to 15 league leaders and maybe 5 to 10 Cinderellas. So depending on the upsets in other brackets, Vermont could definitely get up to a 14. Or if they keep playing like this for another, you know, 6-7 games, which they'll have left, that might be enough by itself to get them to a 14.
Yeah. All right. And let me stick with you, Rocco. Jump over to the A-Sun Conference.
Love the A-Sun.
Which, you know, we saw our league leaders here have a pretty good week this week. I don't think anything really changed other than Liberty with a nice win over Eastern Kentucky kind of solidified as a two-team race.
Yeah, and the biggest thing that changed is our heart rate as we get ready for tomorrow night.
It's a huge one.
I tried everything to get out there for this. But Liberty will play at Kennesaw State. Finally, I've had it circled for over a month. They've been stuck here with two losses apiece for about that long. Kennesaw State has had a lot of close calls, but they pulled them all out. And Liberty's been a buzzsaw in almost all their games. So besides the EKU difficulties they've had, EKU obviously a quality club as well. But the way it shakes out is, the top four teams. And right now, these two are very close to clinching that. The winner tomorrow will have it clinched. And then with another Lipscomb/North Alabama loss, they'll clinch either way. The top four teams in the league will have a bye to the quarterfinals on Tuesday, February 28th, which is less than 2 weeks from now. And on Monday, the 27th, will be the round before. So a massive advantage for the teams getting a team flying in from another city the very next night on their home court. With all that being said, I'll be at Kennesaw State for that quarterfinal game, whoever they play, whatever seed they are. Hopefully that'll make up for tomorrow's absence.
Yeah. And even though Bellarmine and Queens are ineligible for the NCAA tournament, they are going to be eligible for the A-Sun tournament. So two bottom teams will be knocked off. And right now, surprisingly enough, the team that was in the NCAA tournament last year, Jacksonville State, in position to be one of the two teams that doesn't even qualify for the A-Sun tournament. So that's a bit of a shock there.
Getting down to it, Austin Peay will be eliminated with one more loss. They need to win out just to have a mathematical chance. And Jack State, two more knocks them out. This is doing a bit of a survival board watch tonight as well. who's clinching? Who's going to get eliminated from the survival board? Which raises the question, why not just take all 14 if you're going to do that? But whatever.
Yeah, Austin Peay, just a massive disappointment. Some actual talent on that roster. They've lost. They haven't won since January 7th. 10 losses in a row for the Govs. Something's got to change. They get a new arena opening next year.
And you do see, we've been may as well keep watching some of these conferences. You see a very nice net for Liberty. I mean, they're nowhere near the bubble, in my opinion, but right. 13 line is definitely where definitely within their grasp here. I don't know that the 12 line quite is, but 13, I think this looks like a 13 seed. If it's Kennesaw, you're going to drop another line or two below that, though, I think.
I think so, too.
Well, if you get enough conference upsets, Liberty could sneak up to a 12.
Yeah, we need a lot of conference upsets.
Right, need a lot.
Yeah, we would need some of the big teams we're talking about tonight, from the Colonial and the Summit League and the WAC, to all slip up and the MAC as well. Yeah. But Sleeka, let me stick with you and jump over to our newest member of the Under the Radar Report, the Atlantic 10 Conference, where VCU was getting crushed tonight at Rhode Island and somehow made a massive comeback to win it on a buzzer beater.
Well, it did save the Rams here from getting into a logjam here with Fordham, Dayton, and St. Louis. Fordham got off to a bit of a slow start themselves and were able to catch the Bonnies right here.
Yeah, I would know as we record this, it's around almost 10 p.m. Eastern. St. Louis is playing as we record this. They are up 7 late in the first half over Davidson, so trying to remain in that tie for second place. But Dorman, I mean, this could be a wild conference tournament as well when we get there. All 15 teams are going to this event.
This is going to be wild because everyone is going to be playing for their tournament lives every single game. No one is in the at-large picture or discussion. So I shouldn't say it. VCU might, but they got a lot of work left to do. They've had some losses the last couple of weeks that really has set them back. I don't think they're in the ALR discussion even yet. So every game is going to be absolutely awesome in the A-10 because there were some teams we thought going into the season, like you're pulling up Dayton. St. Louis is another one that comes to mind. They fell flat on their faces in the non-conference. So it's setting up. They're all going to be – this is going to be a one big conference. But there's some talent between those two teams and St. Louis that isn't on the screen. I agree with you, Chad. Incredible conference tournament.
Rocco, you are the bracketeer, the bracket miller. VCU, what if they don't lose again to the conference tournament finals? I know they're not going to beat anybody of any note, but it's going to be a lot of wins.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of wins, which is helpful, of course, doesn't hurt. But the St. Louis win could matter. I think that's borderline Q2, Q3 on their home court. Yeah. But yeah, I think and Florida maybe gets into Q3, which they play Saturday. But in general, that'll be a great game. But yeah, I don't know if they're going to move much from where they are now. Right now, they're pretty firm 13 seed. I think if they do run the table and get all the way through the A-10 tournament from now until the end without a loss, they're probably getting a 12 at that point because
as the auto bid winner without a loss.
Yeah. As the auto bid winner, you know, Dayton will have good weight if they can beat them and along the way. St. Louis is a little bit more weight on a neutral court than they are at VCU. So, yeah, we'll see if they can do that. I don't know that they will. I think when Dayton's on, they are clearly the best team, but we've seen bad Dayton show up multiple times throughout the year. So it's pretty unpredictable. And I will say Fordham, Greg said it in the email earlier, I think, that I mean, the amount of momentum they have and the amount of togetherness they have is easily, I think, the best story in this league. And I think with them, remind me where the tournament is. Is it Barclays again or is it in D.C.?
Barclays.
Barclays. Yeah, that's awesome for Fordham. It's right there. So, man, the Fordham story could just get better and better as each day goes by.
Right. A big game this week is Fordham at VCU. The other game that I think I may need to circle, though, Griggs, I think you may want to pay attention to Dayton at Loyola Friday night because it's the type of game Dayton's been losing this year.
You know? Right. Loyola has been removed from the survival board, I think.
No, they're not. All 15 teams go to the A-10.
Well, not Loyola. Not Loyola. They're not letting
them. I would also keep an eye on Duquesne and St. Louis on Saturday.
Yes, yeah, that could be a very good game right there. The battle to get those top four seeds, the top four will get buys into the quarterfinals. The bottom six will have to play five games in 6 days. They are taking a day off in the middle of the tournament at least this year.
And I made this point last week, and I'll do it here. I think I count one team that with a overall strength of schedule in the top 150 or the top half of the nation. We need to work on that if you want to get back on the radar, A-10.
Let's keep things rolling here. Dorman, over in the Big Sky Conference, we are now down to, with Alabama losing tonight at Tennessee, two teams left undefeated in conference play. We'll get to Oral Roberts a little later. Eastern Washington, they just keep winning games. Nice win at Idaho over the weekend. Battle, but they won the game.
Yeah, it was a battle. They're going to get everyone's best shot when you're undefeated in the conference. They're flying under the radar in an under the radar conference. No one wants to talk about them, but they're just, like you said, keep winning. Real strong team, well coached. This is one of the conferences I'm looking, Eastern Washington, I think really is stronger than the rest. And I like Eastern Washington to come out of this conference.
Yeah. Let me throw that question out here again on Eastern Washington now, where they end up seeded, especially if they don't lose another game, which honestly doesn't look like they're going to, and they do finish not only undefeated in conference, but they're could go into the NCAA tournament on a 23-game winning streak. I mean, which is almost insane. But Rocco, can they get above the 14 line though?
I think they'll need some help. Okay. And that's just because in the non-conference they were just 6-7, you know, and out of the six, only five against D1 teams. They had a non-D1 game.
But the losses are horrible. I mean,
when you no, they're not horrible. For
quad three, it's Washington State, a Pac-12 team, at South Dakota State, at FIU.
Yeah, it's not terrible.
Those good places, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not terrible, but it's just – a matter of who they're compared against. I think the thing to keep in mind when you're looking at the 12 and 13 lines is even if we lose some of the teams that are slotted there now, like your Utah Valleys, your Kent States, those types of teams, there's just as good of a chance as losing those as gaining a bid stealer from like the American or, the A-10 or wherever. We might have bid stealers from Conference USA, that could take a 12 or a 13 away. So just as many chances on, I think, the 12 or 13 to lose some of the teams projected now as to gain some along the way. Or if we get one from the Pac-12, for example, right? So
it's happened before.
and this looks like a year where it could happen again. So, those are things that are really critical to keep in mind for those 12, 13 lines. I think 14, 15, 16 is a little more straightforward because you kind of know which leagues they're coming from. It's just a matter of who.
Fair enough. Here's the upcoming schedule. We have Eastern Washington's games this week. Stalika, they're hosting Northern Arizona, and then it's coming up Saturday.
No Koiwu.
Stalika's favorite, the No Koiwu Cup round two. This time at Eastern. I'm looking for them to be 15-0 when we do our show next week, though. Briggs, up next is the we've got Big South Conference here, where UNC Asheville. Everyone else played tonight. They're actually playing tomorrow night for this week's game, but they're sitting there in first place still.
They are for now. They've got a very, very big game tomorrow against Radford. And if they win that, they're basically running downhill, and I can't imagine them not clinching first place, which I believe comes with home court advantage, or does it not anymore?
The Big South Conference, I'll just double check that conference tournament is being played in Charlotte. So no, it comes with, unless you wear a white uniform in the first round.
Yeah. Okay. So they kind of screwed it up. The stakes aren't quite the same, but Asheville, as far as that goes, they can basically get complete control or be tied down the stretch with Radford. So it goes without saying the game tomorrow is huge.
Yeah. The Radford team with a surprising loss to Gardner Webb earlier this over the weekend, and that kind of let Asheville get this half game lead, I guess at the moment it is, or I guess it's a full game lead, but
it's a full game,
Game is at Radford. And Stalika, is this the under the radar game of the day tomorrow, or are we going to the A-Sun?
Ask me at 6 a.m. when I look up school board and make my selections.
We got a couple of good first place games coming up Thursday night, so you're definitely going to be watching these under the radar leagues. Big South. Yep.
Big well night here. On ESPNU. Yeah.
Dorman, over in the Big West Conference, UC Santa Barbara has the one game lead still in this league. They picked up a win over UC Davis and a nice win at Long Beach last Thursday night.
Yeah. They showed me a lot in the win over Long Beach. Long Beach had a nice crowd. They were hitting some shots. Long Beach had was playing obviously at home, and Long Beach also got nipped by Santa Barbara in the, I believe it was the semis last year, the Big West. So this is becoming a rivalry here. But Santa Barbara keeps beating them. I just love the way they hang in there. They're tough. They play really strong, tough defense. And they wear down Long Beach, and they hit a few shots down the stretch. But this conference is not Santa Barbara's by any means. Hawaii is real strong. With the schedule and the travel, it's always hard. I feel like their record is a little off because of that. But Hawaii is going to be tough in this conference tournament. Irvine has a really strong team. So this conference is going to be great coming down the stretch.
And it's going to be great tonight. It hasn't tipped yet. But we got the Gouch Eaters Cup.
And Rocco, I was going to say that this is a conference. I you weren't with us last week, but this was our feature conference, in fact. But I know it's a conference that you love out there on the West Coast, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, this year has been a special year because I think the quality goes at least six deep. One of the teams that two of the teams right now that might be the hottest are both Fullerton and Long Beach. Obviously Beach came up short in the Santa Barbara opportunity, but they're finally playing the way we thought they would preseason. They were picked by a lot of people to either, finish second right behind UCSB. A couple people had them winning it. And Fullerton is actually playing the best defense in the league. They went to Hawaii on Saturday and got a win where they had a huge lead at halftime and held on for dear life at the end and got the job done. But in the last five games, Fullerton's actually beat Irvine, Riverside, and Hawaii. So this Titans team is really coming on strong, up to 8-6 after a slow start in the conference standings. And then, of course, right now we're tipping off the showdown between the Eaters and the Gauchos. Class teams with quality resumes. I think the big story is the fight that happened in the Santa Barbara UC Davis game on Saturday night led to Andre Kelly, the Cal transfer, obviously a key cog in the middle for UCSB, being suspended tonight. So I think even though the game's at Santa Barbara, that does give Irvine a little bit of an edge heading into this. We'll see how it plays out. But if Irvine's able to take advantage of that and get this win, we now have a tie at 11-3 between those two.
Yeah, and a little bit interesting here that this conference, a lot of these teams are going to be playing three games next week. They're going with a Monday, Wednesday, Saturday. So there's a lot of conference action play left here, a lot more than other leagues. It's a conference that doesn't end until its conference tournament is the second week of championship week, so they play an extra week of regular season.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got a three-game week next week. So if I go back to these team sheets here, you see these teams here with eight games, what is it, eight games left? Seven games left at the regular season, which might lead the league, might lead all of NCAA for the most games left for teams here. So just something to throw out there. Obviously, beyond the big game tonight, Santa Barbara on Saturday is going to be hosting Northridge. And looks like they are the team that's not going to be playing. Oh, no, they're there. They're hosting Fullerton on Monday night. I'm sorry. I missed that game. So.
Beach and Riverside's a pretty big game tonight as well. Two of the teams tied for third.
Mm-hmm. Dorman, over in the Colonial, where we have the two-way tie for first place still between Charleston and Hofstra. They both were able to win their games this week. Hofstra is still holding the tiebreaker, though.
Yep, fantastic finish going down the stretch. Who is going to flinch first? I've been waiting for Hofstra to kind of go in a funk. I thought they were playing above their heads, but every time I watch them, I get more impressed. I really like this Hofstra team. Charleston, as we know, has been the talk of a lot of this season. They were only with one loss, and that was in North Carolina, in a game they were actually in for most of the season. The question everyone wants to know is Charleston in line for a bid if they don't win the conference tournament? And I'm going to give our experts the answer, let them answer on that, because it is real tight now. But this is going to be another great finish down the stretch here with Hofstra and Charleston. And don't count out Wilmington. I like what Wilmington's doing lately. I think they'll be heard from.
Rocco, what do you think? Is there a shot here for Charleston? Because they can't really pick up another big win unless they play Hofstra. And I assume it would mean a loss to Hofstra in the conference tournament finals, not a win over them.
Right. Yeah, that's the tricky part. And then if you go to the third team in line, it's Towson, who's dropped to 146 in net, which doesn't really move the needle either. That's still in the quad three area. UNC Wilmington sitting at 134. So what we can tell right now, I don't think either of those teams would move the needle, if you will. And I think it's unfortunate because we're talking about a Charleston team in that scenario. If they get to the final, lose to Hofstra. They're sitting there with 28 or 29 wins, I think 29 even. I think they would definitely be heavily discussed, so don't get me wrong. I said this a lot about North Texas last year. In fact, I fought hard vocally on these shows for North Texas. Nobody seemed to pay attention because they didn't even finish first four out, which really bugged me. But, this Charleston team, the difference here is they've gotten good road wins in the league, but they didn't really do anything on the road outside of the league. And that, right. I think going into all this, we kind of knew was a problem.
Right. But it also doesn't help them, I would say, also Virginia Tech is slipping at a bad loss today. That was their best win. I actually want to just throw this out there, Griggs, and then I'll go to you. Win out until the conference tournament final would be five more wins, including their non-D1, that would be 30 wins, which would be our net starting record. If they're
left, so that might be worth a Dayton shot. Sorry to interrupt. I'm looking at their strength of resume right now. It's 42nd, which is actually really good. If that's, if all these bubble teams keep losing and they get that up to 35 or 30, I mean, I think that actually gets them even heavily.
But that 335 strength of schedule then and the 295 non-conference strength of schedule, I think that's also going to factor in. Right. Sorry, go ahead.
One of the things, I think they've got a couple things working against them. One is that they wouldn't be an outright first place team. I don't think when you look at who Hofstra has left that they're going to lose to any of those teams. They're all sub 300 teams. That's one strike. We have seen a team, Murray State, won 28 D1 games 1 year and was ranked in the top 25 to end the year, had a finished five games in front of, I want to say it was Belmont in the Ohio Valley standings, and was not selected and was not in the next group of four. And if they did all that and didn't get looked at, I don't think 29 D1 wins against this schedule gets Charleston in either. I know Rocco is better at guessing the committee than I am, but if I'm a committee of one, I don't take them. And if I'm trying to guess a committee, I don't think the committee would take them. And I like this Charleston team. I love Pat Kelsey as a coach and as a person. It isn't any vendetta against them. It's just that objectively speaking, it looks weak.
Yeah, and I have to agree with everything David said there, and it happened to St. Mary's as well back when St. Mary's didn't schedule anybody and they had 300 ranked schedule, give or take. I do think part of the compelling story on the positive side for Charleston is intent to schedule is something you hear the committee members say all the time. They did have the Charleston Classic for their size school. That's a big deal. They did get Kent State to come, who they knew going into the year was one of the best mid-major teams. So I think there was an intent to have a good schedule. Obviously, Carolina. Some of these games didn't work out the way they wanted it to, but that does send somewhat of a good message from that standpoint.
Yeah, whereas the Murray State team, it was out of the 28 Pace wins, I want to say only four were against the top 250 or 200 or whatever it was from a few years back. Ugly.
Yeah. You didn't really expect Colorado State to be a tier three, Davidson to be a tier three. You know, those were some
Richmond
of the games that got
four.
Richmond a tier four, exactly.
Those were supposed to be really big games and hang in the top two quadrants, but they didn't.
There's the upcoming schedule. Hofstra's hosting Hampton at Stony Brook, Charleston's at Elon. But let's roll things along here. Salika, Conference USA time. Ignore that first place team. They are in the top 25.
And if you just heard Rocco a few moments ago, do not ignore North Texas right here. They get a couple wins against UAB and Charlotte and still have a grasp on second place in Conference USA. They also have a pretty gaudy record, at least as far as Division I opponents go, at 19-5. If we were using the old RPI metric, maybe we have a discussion, but in these days, with an RPI of 47, probably not going to get it done. And if you look at their remaining three road games, Louisiana Tech, UTEP, and Charlotte, no real big names on there. But if they can win out for the regular season, make a decent run in the Conference USA tournament, they'll probably get a look or two, but nothing more.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree on a look with that nice net. Dorman, go ahead. Sorry.
One of the best games I think we might be able to see in March is round three, North Texas, Florida Atlantic. I didn't say that team, but they stuck with them twice. They were in the game. They had shots to almost tie it or win it. I would love to see round three of that North Texas versus that team on the top line there. It would be an incredible game.
And that's the best shot for the two-bid CUSA is you have that game and North Texas gets the win in it.
Gets the win. And then Florida Atlantic would still get a strong seed even if they lost it.
Yep.
Yeah. Florida Atlantic's going in on the first ballot if they went out.
Yeah, assuming they don't
slip up.
And I think
even if they lose that championship game, they might still be first ballot if it's a tight game.
Oh, I think they're first ballot if they went out and lose in the quarters.
Win out the regular season.
Oh, I got you. Yeah. Let's do it. Go Elves.
Yeah. North Texas does have a tough trip this week, though, at Louisiana Tech, at UTEP, and as Salika mentioned, at Charlotte after that. So, they've got to win these games if they even want to get that look. That he mentioned. Let's keep things rolling, though, Griggs. Over to the Horizon League, where how about them Penguins back in a tie again with Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more awesome than Penguins winning basketball games. I mean, I didn't know how cool it was because I'd never seen it happen before, but it's happened 20 times this year, and God, what a story. Their arena is full. It's destination television whenever they play at home just because the atmosphere is so great. But that really is a good under-the-radar story. They have no real history of winning at all, and here they are, a conference front-runner. Milwaukee absolutely has a history, especially in the Bruce Pearl days. They went to multiple tournaments, won games in those tournaments, but it's been a long time since they've been any good at all, so kind of a fun race. you know, like they do go up against each other. I want to say tomorrow.
Yeah, under the radar game of the day.
The third under the radar. You got triple headers, Lika.
And after that, all three of them sort of close out against weak teams. So you got, while it's not mathematically a first place clincher, I think the winner of tomorrow's game will win the league.
Now, there have been slip ups. Milwaukee, we know, lost to Green Bay earlier, so there have been slip ups. So you don't want to necessarily say that with this league this season. You do have Cleveland State, Northern Kentucky, right there. Cleveland State having beaten Youngstown over the past week. And the other story we've been following here in this conference is, of course, at Detroit Mercy, where Antoine Davis up to 3,482 career points as we record this, heading into their game on Friday night at Oakland. 36-67 is Pistol Pete's record. I think he's going to come real close if you include the last few regular season games, as well as one, at least one conference tournament game. And I've got something I want to do here. If they lose that first conference tournament game and you look and he's 20, 30 points behind Pistol Pete, both in game range of one more game, CBI, listen to me.
Yes.
I don't care if they have a losing record. You have no rule against taking a team with a losing record. You've done it before. Invite this team. Give the kid a shot. People will watch the CBI this year. They will, at least one game of it.
Yeah, at least
they invite
game.
Him to the AC8, but we still have yet to see one of those games played.
don't come to the AC8. You're not going to get your record here. let's see. Where are we up to now? Rocco, over in the Ivy League, this is a league that, you know, we are – I think we've got four teams that are looking a little better than the others. Actually, Columbia's already been eliminated. Can't make the Ivy Madness here, but – It's looks like it's going to be, you know, the battle for the regular season crowd is still anybody's right now, I think.
Yeah, I mean, Princeton really getting shook up over the weekend with their defeat against Dartmouth.
Bad loss,
Big Green staying alive at 5-5 with a big game from Dame Ada Lacun, who had 25 points in that ball game. And I mean, Dartmouth led that thing almost wire to wire. I'm sorry, no, second half, they blew up on a 30-10 run to start the second half. But really good win for the Big Green, who have played well at home. Princeton, obviously talented. Yale's a team that just obliterates people when they get rolling. And I think that's really helped their metrics a lot. They're almost top 75 in KenPom. They have a very strong net. And if they're the representative, there's somebody that appears to be pretty dangerous. But I've noticed in close games, they've also, you know, they pulled a couple out recently when they beat Brown, and I think one or two others. But in a lot of other close games, that's where they've fallen. So a lot remains to be seen there, because if they're going to be the representative, you have to figure you're going to have to be able to pull out a close game if they're going to get an upset in the NCAAs. But obviously a very talented team with a great offense. And Brown's a team I still like a lot. And they're fighting hard with their backs against the wall. They've now won three in a row, knocked off Cornell, who used to be the hot item in the Ivy League.
Not even in the top four anymore for Cornell.
That's how even it is. So I just like these Brown players have stuck together for a lot of years. And I think if they can get into the Ivy Four, they're poised to kind of win it, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Ivy Four Ivy Madness will be played at Harvard this year. Harvard really looking like they're not going to qualify for their own tournament at the moment. It'd take a incredible run here the rest of this way to find a way in, and then Neil will help to do it too.
Right, and if you look there, they're three games back with four games remaining. They could be eliminated. It's possible either Friday or Saturday. Yeah. So
that's crazy.
Big games
that could
this
be a
week.
Coaching change if that happens.
Yeah.
Tommy.
But let's take a look at what we've got coming this weekend, because the top four teams are playing each other twice. Yale at Penn, Yale at Princeton, Brown at Princeton, Brown at Penn. So we have,
exactly.
I mean, these could be very good chance that these are previews of games that we'll be seeing in the Ivy League tournament this weekend between these four games. So circle all those games. But also does give a chance for a Cornell, especially the winner of this Cornell-Dartmouth game on Friday night, to maybe sneak into that top four, as these teams do have to lose some games here. So keep an eye on that as well. That's makes Cornell Dartmouth maybe the most important game this week, believe it or not.
Right. So you're telling me the corn mouth should be the game of the day on Friday.
Yeah. Maybe it should
and then
be.
They get, corn mouth and then they get Harvard on Saturday at home. Yeah. So you think they win that one. they come out of the weekend winning two, if anyone in the top four drops two, all of a sudden there's a move.
Or on the other hand, Dartmouth, if they get the sweep, they should win at Columbia exactly. Saturday. If they can win at Cornell as well, they're the ones that move up. Salika, Metro Atlantic time. Over, we're here where we have Iona back in first, tied with Ryder again, as they win at Canisius and at Niagara this week. Ryder picked up one win, I believe.
It really has been a merry-go-round because going into the podcast last week, Ryder had finally gotten control of first place after wresting it from Siena the week before. Now we get the first place tie between Iona and Ryder after the Gales get the sweep against the Buffalo schools. And as you noted, Ryder gets the win against Fairfield, but they also had the midweek bye, so they basically fell into a first place tie with Iona right here.
Right, and Griggs, you know, Patino's been complaining about injuries all season, yet he still has his team tied for first place and with a shot at that one seed.
Yeah, they have it. Are they kind of starting to find themselves here? I mean, injuries can be hard to manage and deal with, but they're not as good as I think that we expected to see them coming into the year, but they're certainly, I think they're playing at a higher level now than they have at any other point in the year.
Okay. I mean, they've got their revenge games against both Siena and Ryder still to come this season. Still six games left in the conference season here for the Metro Atlantic team. So long way to go, actually. But so we'll have to see how these next few weeks here play out. But the big games this week, Friday night, Manhattan at Iona. It is one of the great under-the-radar rivalries out there.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God, I just wish that was supposed to be so great this year.
Someone please get Steve Masiello a ticket for that game.
Yeah.
Manhattan's really stuck in there for what they were dealt. In the preseason, the whole team fell apart with the coach getting fired right before his practice was starting. For what they put on the court, I'm pretty impressed. They've done a real nice job.
I echo that.
Yeah, I agree.
Dorman, let me stick with you over the Mid-American Conference here, where it is now Kent State and Toledo tied for first place. Akron was a team that suffered the loss to fall game back when they lose the game at Ohio. And now Ball State's up there as well in second place, or tied for second
place.
This
is just a bunch. I still love this Kent State team. I think they're the strongest team in the MAC. I did think they would pull away more in this conference, but they haven't. Toledo's right there, as we can see, and Ball State and Akron are a game back. It's going to be an interesting fight down the stretch because seeds are going to be really important. I still like Kent State to come out of this, but watch out for Akron. They got a lot of talent.
Yeah, and Rocco, top eight teams make this conference tournament. It looks pretty clear who the top four are going to be, whatever the order is going to be there.
They already clinched too, by the way.
Okay. So those should be the top four teams we see there on the screen. If we can get these four teams into the semifinals, I think it's going to be a great last 2 days in Cleveland. Is there a chance that one of these next team, other teams out here knocks one of these guys off before we get there?
There's two teams. Well, there's actually three. Northern Illinois has really turned their season around. And the Kent State win, I think, really put them on the map. But even in their losses since, they've lost to Ohio by six, who they're tied with. They got beat by Ball State again the other night. But they're getting unbelievable play from David Coit and others. But he's been the star. And Coit's a guy that was an NJCAA Division III All-American last year. And
they had three divisions.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like some of the players that Rashawn Bruno has Bruno has found to complete his roster and actually compete is pretty astonishing. So there's some really good stories coming out of NIU. Ohio, of course, is coached by Jeff Bowles. You can never count out a Jeff Bowles coach team. You know they're going to be only better. They're on a 4-game win streak right now, and they beat Akron last Friday. Ohio's probably going to be a really tough out for anybody. And then Buffalo's actually improved a little bit here in the last month. So can't fully count out the Bulls.
Yeah. So but by that Jeff token, Central Michigan's going to win this conference tournament. So
Hey, they'll beat Toledo.
Jeff Bowles, a Tim Miles disciple. So, and again, potential larger eliminations this week with Western Michigan and Miami, Ohio being three games back of first place with five games to go. So,
and two big games, huge, two games for the under the radar game of the day coming up Tuesday. Sleeka, Kent State at Ball State, Akron at Toledo. These four teams going head to head on the same evening. So it's a big night in the MAC coming up next week on Tuesday.
And Chad, I will be providing coverage at the Akron Toledo game next week.
I thought you were going to be at both of them.
No, I can't get to Muncie on time. I'm sorry.
And the other three, the game at Ohio, the game at Buffalo, game at Eastern Miami.
We're not doing those. Yeah. Focusing on the Zips and Rockets.
Zips and Rockets. All right.
Don't forget Paco's hot dogs if you're going to Toledo.
I appreciate that. It'll be my first time ever.
Yeah. Rocco. A week ago, we were all aboard the Maryland Eastern Shore bandwagon, and a close loss against Norfolk State at home, and then a bad blowout loss. It was not nearly as close as that 78-69 final on Monday night against Howard. But now, are we on the Howard bandwagon? It's been forever since they've been in the big dance.
That's a good point. Yeah, the Eastern Shore thing, you know, it's most of the MEAC. They took a two-week break from league play, and I'm just like, gosh, that's going to kill a team like Eastern Shore, who was rolling at seven straight wins. And sure enough, they come out of the break. And, you know, they actually fought with Norfolk neck and neck and ended up losing at the end. And then Howard was just too much for them on their home court. Howard's been getting some really good crowds, speaking of teams. Getting good crowds.
Best team in D.C.
That's right.
Team in D.C.
eight wins in a row now, Chad. And, you know, rolling, according to KenPom, they're the fifth longest winning streak in the country. Now they've got four straight road games. So much for that crowd. But they're going to play some teams they should be able to manage, Coppin State and Morgan State, on the near term. A big one at NC Central a week from now. And then the finale will be their last home game against Norfolk, where hopefully the place is just packed, because that could be for the title.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's
the game. If the storyline lines up like that.
That's the game I think we're going to be circling the rest of the way here in the MEAC. But Dorman, over in the Missouri Valley Conference, where, you know, we can't get rid of this logjam. I think it was eight teams. It's down to five, but it's still five teams that are neck and neck and neck and neck.
Incredible. This is my favorite under the radar conference. I just love it year in and year out. Coming into the season, not only I, but a lot of people were high on this conference and talking at large bids. In the early season, when they're in out of conference games, they really had some schedule opportunities and tournaments, and they really lost basically all of them to get anything going. So the conference numbers and metrics were down. It's a one bid conference this year. But there are some really talented teams, starting with the two up you pulled up there, Bradley and Drake, Southern Illinois, and Belmont also now is playing some really good basketball. You have some desperate teams. I know I said it before, really talented, well-coached. St. Louis is going to be a fantastic tournament with the Missouri Valley coming to town.
Yeah, and Sleeka, only the four of these five teams here can even get first round by. Somebody's got to play a 5-12 game against Evansville or UIC. I would also note real quick here that as we record this, Drake up 10 in the second half at Northern Iowa, so looking to remain tied with Bradley.
Yeah, that, and at the risk of looking ahead, look at the finale for the regular season. Mm-hmm. Drake going to Bradley could very well decide who gets the top seed in the Valley.
Yeah, that just got flexed to ESPN2 as well, so that's great for the league.
Good. I'm still a firm believer that Drake, when they play up to their ceiling, can be really, really good. But the problem is they don't always do it, but they've been doing it more consistently, and they've shown signs of the team that I think at least I had – Rocco, too, we're expecting to see back in October. Like, this is a very good Drake team. It wouldn't shock me at all to see them playing in the round of 32.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Rocco, go ahead.
So, Rocco, if Drake does get there, what do you see their seed being?
Yeah, I feel very confident that they're a 12 right now, just compared to the other league leaders. I really like their resume compared to most. They're not quite there for NCAA bubble, above the bubble resume wise, but they have a good resume. The Mississippi State's been playing better until tonight, but they're a top 40 team coming into today. That's an excellent win on a neutral court. Best win anybody in the Valley has. And then they have a 25-point blowout, which helps their numbers against Bradley in the first matchup. So that's really helped them. But you got the road win at Belmont by 18. I mean, that's helping their numbers a lot. And then a 7-3 quad three record. Again, it's not like NCAA Dayton caliber yet, but it's probably very much safely into the NIT. And I
Oh,
think, yeah. And
yeah.
so I and the way they've been playing just lately, they're really coming together strong. And finally, like, they've had a lot of injuries throughout the campaign. They got a full unit right now. It's a dangerous team.
Yeah, and they're actually kind of celebrating right now as well. That Mississippi State, when Mississippi State making a big comeback late against Kentucky as we record this, so who
Oh,
knows?
well, they're playing Northern Iowa right now. I don't know what they're doing.
The hump is rocking.
Yeah, the hump is
The, 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 I think Drake should be paying more attention to Mississippi State right now
They're
than
rooting for
Northern
Mississippi State to
Iowa.
continue to win. Yes, absolutely.
We've actually have a fascinating week ahead here this weekend, even into next week, though. We've got a lot of these top teams playing each other. We've got Bradley at Southern Illinois. We've got Belmont at Drake. And then going to next week, even we've got the, what was it? We've got the Indiana State at Belmont game as well here. So these teams are going to start playing each other. Bradley at Southern Illinois. Did I mention that one also?
Yeah, you
We
did.
did.
So
Yep.
should be a real fun week ahead here in the MVC. But
Bradley
Griggs,
and Southern Illinois do not like each other, by the way.
not, yeah, they
Really?
I've noticed that on Twitter almost every
Just
Sunday.
a wee bit.
Yeah, that's
There's
been
a
a
lot of chirping. A lot of chirping.
yeah. That's been yeah. That's been a long-running
Okay.
rivalry.
All right. Let's keep things rolling here, Griggs. Northeast
Oh.
Conference, I love it. Double red to top the screen off. Both ineligible teams. Stonehill not even going to be allowed to play in the Northeast Conference tournament. Merrimack will be allowed to be in there. But despite all that, F. Fairleigh Dickinson is, despite a home loss to Central Connecticut, is still the your league leader, I guess, in terms of tournament eligible teams.
Yeah, so Fairleigh Dickinson, they've got a two-game lead over everybody that's actually eligible for the NCAA tournament with 6 games to go, and but they might not have home court advantage because Merrimack is allowed to play in this.
Yeah,
Or
they would have to play the if they make the championships against Merrimack, they would right now, and Merrimack ends up winning. They're only half game behind their tie to the loss column. If Merrimack gets that one seed, they'd have to go to Merrimack for the championship. Kind of funny that Merrimack was most people's preseason pick to actually win this conference regular season title, and was atrocious in non-conference that we almost forgot about them. And here they are. They've actually come back. But
Well,
how about the Stoners though up top there? I
yeah,
mean,
the stu a transitional team, first
for
year
first year.
transitioning up in first place, and we love this league, we really do, and it's been fun. The games are all good. But when you look at you just have to marvel in awe at just the pitifulness of this conference this year. Everybody outside the top 200, except
Top
Wagner,
300,
wait,
top
top 300,
300.
excuse me, except Wagner, who checks in at 295. I do think Rocco and, well, I know Stalica are both NCAA tournament trivia like savants. I don't recall a sub 300 team ever making it. Like this might be, and I certainly don't recall an entire conference being outside the top 300.
This will
Making
forgot.
the field.
Make it the field.
Yeah, I think we've had a couple where, like,
Yeah.
FAMU, when they won like only 8 or 9 games, they had been in the 300s.
I thought there weren't
Unless
as
that
many
was
teams.
so far back that we didn't have 300 D1 teams. But yeah, there's a couple of those years where we sent teams to the first four, like, severely under 500, that I would
Oh,
imagine
yeah,
also.
we've done that. I remember when, was it Oral Roberts that the one year they only won 7 regular season games and
Yeah.
got in, but they got into the top
Holy
300.
Cross was one.
Yeah,
They were
there's
dead
kind of.
last in the Patriot League one year.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep things rolling here. Fairleigh Dickinson's at Sacred Heart and at Wagner this week. While Stonehill hosts Long Island and is at Central Connecticut. Merrimack non-conference game at Hartford and then game at Sacred Heart. Dorman over in the OVC. Morehead State starting to pull away.
Incredible. Watching them early in the season, I thought this team had a lot of holes and a lot of issues, and they've really done really well coming on strong, coaching A-plus so far from where they were to today. Down low, they're replacing the big man. I'm losing his the big man that went to Auburn on a transfer. Thank you.
Janae Brooms, thank you.
A fantastic player. They their bigs are starting to play better. They're going to need to work a little on their defense. They're going to have to be able to get some big stops and slow down some teams if they're going to win. But their offense is clicking, and right now I can't believe I think at Morehead State is clearly playing the best basketball, and I look like them in the tournament.
Yeah, we got a crazy five-way tie for second place right now. And this conference does use a ladder format, so finishing second is important. If you don't finish second, finishing third or fourth is also important to at least avoid having to play in the first round.
Another round. Yeah.
Two teams won't qualify at all. Southern Indiana and Lindenwood technically eligible, although Lindenwood really looks like they'll be one of the teams that's not going to go to the conference tournament. Little Rock probably going to be the other one. Eastern Illinois could still be in that mix, yeah.
Well, Little Rock and Eastern Illinois play Saturday, and if Eastern Illinois wins that, I believe it eliminates Little Rock. Okay. So,
and Lindenwood could be not eliminated off the survival board, but eliminated from being able to go to the OVC tournament this weekend as well.
Right. Yeah.
Morehead hosted Tennessee State. I believe it's a nationally televised game tomorrow night, and then they're hosting Lindenwood this week. But
yeah, I think that game is going to be played on campus and not some IKEA in Eastern Kentucky. I'll have to confirm that.
Stalika, Patriot League, Colgate bounces back from the one loss of the season, picks up a couple wins, including a home win tonight over Army West Point.
Well, the win against West Point was, I think, their second one against the Black Knights right here. It gives them a little bit of a further distance right here. I think Colgate has already clinched at least an NIT bid here because they're five games in front of everybody else.
Yeah, they've clinched it. They've clinched an outright first place finish. Right. So.
And Rocco, yeah. Rocco,
championship game.
How about the seed for this Colgate team? Only one conference loss. You know, they've only lost once in 2023.
Yeah, I mean they've been phenomenal. I think they're right on that 14-15 borderline. Mm-hmm. I have them just below Eastern and Kennesaw State right now. We'll see if. Even if Kennesaw loses to Liberty, Liberty's obviously way above them. So if they keep winning, I think it would work out for them to find a way onto that 14 line where they were, you know, when they had that awesome lead against Arkansas at halftime in the tournament that was in the bubble. They also landed on the 14 recently in another year. So familiar territory for the Raiders.
All right. Well, at this point, the last few regular season games are not playing for much more other than to move their seat up in the NCAA tournament. Yeah. They've already clinched outright. They've already clinched at least an NIT bid, home court for the whole Patriot League tournament. But they got two games this week, Holy Cross and Lafayette.
Yeah, I think another thing to keep in mind as we go into the carousel season is Matt Langell's name has been attached to a lot of big jobs. So if Colgate continues to steamroll, I think the more likely that actually happens for him.
Well deserved.
Yes.
Rocco, let me stick with you in the Southland Conference where – the league leaders have been bouncing back and forth like crazy between these top four, maybe even top five teams to include Commerce. But this week, at least, it's Northwestern State and Corpus Christi leading the way.
It is a revolving door. I think Northwestern State has really shown up as the team with the most talent. And we've talked about them several times this year. And they're finally starting to get to a consistent level of play. It just seems like, you know, when they play a team, you know, they obviously beat TCU without Mike Miles in the beginning of the year, but they also beat Illinois State on the road. They beat an amazing Southern Miss team. So they've got some excellent wins. That's probably the only team that can get above the 16 because of that. But we'll see how many more Southland blows they take. And then they started the Southland season 0-2, 10-1 since then. So I do think the Demons have the talent. The coach I like the most in this league is Corpus Christi's Steve Lutz, who of course comes from the Matt Painter tree. Only been in this league a couple of years. He's already won it last year in the tournament. And I like Steve Lutz's kid ability to just on the fly and in the game. I think that gives the Islanders a pretty good edge in the tournament format. We'll see what, Corey Gibson's a brand new head coach from Missouri State, coaching Northwestern State. This will be his first go around in a Southland tournament. So, you know, maybe the vet here wins out. So that I'm looking at those two schools mainly because I do think it's best coach versus best talent. But also, you know, Sela's been very feisty all year, so you can't count out Sela.
Right. And this tournament does use the ladder format, so the top two seeds will get byes to the semifinals. Only eight teams make it. Conference are being played in Lake Charles on McNeese State's home court this year. McNeese in a tough battle to even make the top eight, as Commerce is eligible to play in this conference tournament. So they may not even be able to play in their host tournament.
Right. Yeah. Good story at McNeese. They built a brand new arena, got wiped out by one of the storms, one of the hurricanes, rebuilt it again, and now they're hosting the tournament. It's a beautiful facility. Yeah. I hope it's a marvelous event for them.
Yeah. This week's key games to watch: Northwestern State hosting Sela, Corpus Christi at Nichols. Those are some of the top teams playing each other. And I believe that they're going to just reverse their. No, wait. Let's see. Corpus Christi is at McNeese then on Saturday. Sela is at Texas A&M Commerce. So. Those are your games. But right. Griggs, let's jump over to the Southwestern Athletic Conference. But before we get to the standings, there was a heck of a story during the Mississippi Valley State game win over, I guess it was it Monday's game? Or I think it was Monday's game. They went over Alabama State. I think it was where a cheerleader got ejected from a game.
No, that was the Saturday game against Alabama A&M.
Okay, it was Alabama. Yes, it was I thought it was the overtime game. Thank you, Sneka. Yeah. It was Saturday's game.
Well, it was an intense game. And a cheerleader.
Double overtime game. Here's what happened. Very late in the game, while going to inbound the ball, one of the Alabama A&M's going to inbound the ball. Cheerleader was doing a routine very close to the sideline, way too close to the sideline, my opinion. And as she came down, the Alabama A&M player accidentally bumped into her. And it was clear that he didn't even see her. When they came back down the court the next time, the next dead ball, she went running out onto the court, shoved the player, and started screaming at him for having bumped into her. Resulted in about seven police officers coming to escort this young woman out of the game. It was one of the crazier things I've ever seen in a college basketball game.
If you don't watch the SWAC, if you're watching this show, you probably do watch the SWAC. But if your friends don't watch the SWAC, which they probably don't, they need to, because things like this don't happen in other leagues. But they do happen in the SWAC. You see everything. Anyway, getting back on the court, Alcorn State controls their own destiny. If they win out, it's theirs. I want to say that they
barely won both games in Florida this week, though, and those are not good teams.
So again, Grambling Southern. God, I still would love to see them play for the championship. A little Bayou Classic. It would be that would actually be kind of a showcase moment for the SWAC, I think, if that were to come to fruition. And then Grambling, a great story. I know we've said it before, but formerly one of the worst teams in all of D1, here they are kind of competing for a spot in the conference championship and maybe a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. Looking at the bottom, and I see that you have the scores up, both Mississippi Valley State and FAMU are two games behind eighth place. It's possible that they both get eliminated this week, before Monday. Yeah,
only eight teams do qualify. The feature game here, though, is the game on Saturday here, Stalika. Grambling Southern game is being played in Salt Lake City. Rocco will be there.
Yeah, Rocco will be there. Why is it in Salt Lake City?
It's a feature game. It's the rivalry. It is going to be on ESPN. NBA TV, TNT. I think every single channel is going to have this game on as well. This is the NBA HBCU Classic game for the year.
Because it's part of NBA All Star.
It's part of the NBA All Star Gate weekend, which is, I guess, is in Salt Lake City.
Does this mean this is an honorary Beehive game?
It might be part of the Beehive Conference. Game of the week. Beehive game of the week. Our newest feature. It's a huge game for the conference standings. This does count as a conference game, too, by the way. It is a conference game. It's not like we saw the MEAC earlier where it counted as a non-conference game.
With the stakes here in the rivalry, you kind of wish it was on one of the campuses, but that's kind of cool, playing in an NBA arena,
And it's Grambling that's given up the home game because they've already played at Southern.
Yes. Yeah. That is the feature game this week. Dorman. Over in the Summit League, here's our other team that's undefeated in conference play. It's Oral Roberts, 23-4 overall, 14-0 in conference.
fantastic basketball team. If you haven't gotten a chance to see them play, make sure you find a way, because this might be a team that sees the second weekend of March. They have basically everything. They have bigs, they have guards. Their coach, Paul Mills, I believe it is, has done a fantastic job. He always has. He's been there a while now, I believe. This team is going to be heard from before, and there's going to be some power conference teams that aren't happy to see them in their bracket.
Yeah, they could be going to the NCAA tournament with 30 wins, actually, if they win every game. Yet, if they only have 29 wins and when that loss does come in the conference tournament, I think they're going to be enjoying the NIT. They only played 4 games above quad four this season. That's just, I'm sorry, 4 wins above quad four this season, and 3 of them were quad three wins. It's just,
It's too bad they didn't play New Mexico this week and set it back.
Yeah.
They probably would have beat them by 20.
They were in the game at St. Mary's, too.
Yeah, I was there. It was, they were down big early, but they rallied back and they scared them. They would cut it to 3 at the end. It was crazy.
Yeah, they'll be hosting the 2 North Dakota schools this weekend, this week, Thursday and Saturday, North Dakota and North Dakota State, as they continue to roll through this league here. Stalika, over in the Sun Belt Conference, we've got Southern Miss now with a 2-game lead following their nice win over Louisiana and then over Louisiana Monroe to follow that up.
Yeah, Louisiana was going to be the big one right here, given that Marshall had been stubbing their toes of late, although the Thundering Herd didn't win a pair of games this week. But Southern Miss has to be the story right here just because of the wins against the two Louisiana schools. And Golden Eagles, they're going to be tougher to catch right now.
Right, and you want to finish in the top four here also, Dorman, to get the bye into the conference tournament quarterfinals. Louisiana, I get they lose Southern Miss, but then they lose the game to Troy to follow up that and may not be quite there yet. They may need to have a few more wins to get that top four.
Yes, they might. Old Dominion and Troy are coming on, and they're right behind them. James Madison playing better as of yet, too. So I agree with you, Chad. Louisiana's got to turn it around if they want to hold one of the top four seeds, which is real important in this tournament.
There are a lot of games coming up here because I guess they got a Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, but I guess we'll circle the Southern Miss games. They're at South Alabama. They'll then be hosting Georgia Southern and then at Old Dominion. That might be a real interesting game, Griggs, next Wednesday at Old Dominion.
Yeah, it could be. Game. Yeah, in Old Dominion coming on a little bit strong here. I know you already said this. Southern Miss with 2 more wins, I think, can clinch at least a share of first. So
right. There we go. Okay. Let's see.
13th
here.
At the start of the year, by the way.
Yeah.
Finally, the WAC, which has a big change in the standings here because we have credited all the conference forfeits for the New Mexico State games. Rocco, you weren't with us Monday night when we discussed the New Mexico State situation. I know. Yeah. I'm just going to give you a second here. Do you have any thoughts on this absolutely awful thing here with the program being shut down for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously been a horrible experience less than a year in, and now it's over. Greg Heyer officially fired as of about less than 24 hours ago, I think. So I think, you know, it's all hindsight at this point, but the AD hiring him was a big gamble that blew up in his face. You know, and he comes from the Christian's tree, but questionable background just in, you know, I think he was an assistant for both Greg Marshall and Will Wade. Was able to get around that by leaving and go to JUCO. But a lot of the players he brought in were JUCO guys, questionable backgrounds across the board, and obviously it blew up. So unfortunate circumstance. You know, I got to meet him right when he got hired. You know, I didn't get to know him that well, but I was hoping everything would work out for everybody's sake. But this is a disaster. And now the AD's got to make a really important decision on the next coach because – New Mexico State goes to Conference USA next year, different can of worms and the teams they'll be facing. And then also, in general, they're a proud program used to winning at a high level. So does he take another gamble or does he play it a little bit safer and go with a veteran guy to kind of calm the storm down a little bit? That'll be a very interesting decision who they go with next.
As far as in this case, the president and the board are going to have a big say.
Big say, yes.
Yeah. Agreed. It might not be up to the AT at all.
Well, let's move, and that is the thing. The chancellor's been making official statements, actually.
Yeah, and let's move on to the court here. Dorman, Utah Valley, now a couple-game lead in this conference in the standings, and that's not the standings for conference tournament play, which I'll get to in a second, but the actual overall standings, and really looking good, four straight wins now, heading to a game at Seattle coming up in a couple days here.
Yeah, they've really separated themselves from the pack. From what I've seen from them, they're clearly the best team and playing really well at the right time. I would be surprised if Utah Valley didn't represent the WAC in the tournament. Yeah, although, I mean,
Sam Houston.
Houston State, I've been waiting for them to come on and make a push. It's been getting better. And in a one-game scenario, obviously they can beat Utah Valley. There were so many moments I thought Sam Houston, especially with their defense, I love their pressure defense. They're all over you. Would make this team better. It just hasn't panned out yet in overall, I guess, wins in the conference, but they could give Utah Valley a heck of a championship game.
Yeah, but they struggled a little bit even tonight with Texas Arlington, the last place team. Now, this is, even though these are technically the conference standings, this is heading into the day yesterday, so it doesn't factor in today's games. This is where the seeding would be. It would be Utah Valley 1, Sam Houston 2. The WAC using a resume-based seeding system that does include non-conference games. It's a program thing they developed with Ken Pom. You know, some of the changes here. See, Arlington actually in 12th place. Yeah.
The WAC points.
You got to earn WAC points is what you got to do. And
I'm kind of disappointed. Oh, like, I was kind of hoping they would use Ohio Valley points or, you know, SWAC points. But no, WAC points is what they went with.
There's the WAC points.
I guess the good news about New Mexico State's season being over already is it makes it so the other 12 can all go to Vegas now, because originally the format was the last place team wouldn't go. So now that's already taken care of.
Texas Arlington just fired their coach a week ago though. Yeah, so they're not playing for much, honestly, there. So,
and that's just a bizarre thing with them firing Scott Cross to get Greg Young and then firing him after 2.5 years. It's just a bizarre set of circumstances coming out of Arlington, even though the team continues to fight hard. They fired him after a win, and they also beat San Francisco this year. It's not like they're not making strides. So it's just a really confusing situation out there.
Yeah. Here's the upcoming games. The Utah Valley games are the ones to circle, obviously, and they are at Seattle, as we mentioned, coming up this weekend. That Grand Canyon Mexico State game obviously is off. Some of those Mexico State games still showed up there. Those games are gone. Quick check with our independents here. Griggs, Chicago State with a huge win over Sleek Xavier team on Saturday.
Yeah, so. Xavier just really struggling in Chicago this year, losing to, you know, earlier in the fall, and now Chicago State.
And here's the schedule for them this week. Chicago State hosting Calumet, while Hartford is hosting Merrimack. And then Sunday, Hartford's at Chicago State. Last game of the regular season, last game in Division One for Hartford coming up Sunday. So a little emotional thing there. Dorman, we got to send you to that game. It's in your backyard.
Yeah, way to crash everything into a mountain.
You will be there. There we go. Dorman will be there. All right. We've got our Front Range Conference. Colorado still leading the way.
Yeah, and if they finish first, Chad, they can get an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament if they win the Pac-12 tournament. So keep that in mind.
We got some more Front Range action this week. Air Force is at Wyoming Friday night. So don't pass up on that one. What do we got? We got
Front Range ranking all kinds of havoc on New Mexico this week.
The back range, it's an Arizona Grand Canyon tie now in the back range conference.
Another conference where New Mexico State has been disqualified.
Yep, they're out of that one too. Let's see what else we got. We've got the Beehive Conference. We don't have the Grambling Southern game on here, but right now BYU with a half game lead, but there is still plenty of room for them to be caught here, especially with. I think we've got one coming up on Friday, Utah Tech at Southern Utah. Southern Utah win will put them in a tie with BYU. Keep an eye on that. Utah Valley, despite leading the WAC, looks like they will not win the just Oak didn't break Bucket this year.
Yeah. The well, random the, sequence of letters.
I have a question on that, Chad. Won't the winner of Grambling Southern be in first place?
You're right. They would be. Oh, wow. Good point. Wow.
He's going to steal the trophy away.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to our top 10 list here. We had a ton of honorable mentions. I was surprised how many teams got votes this week. Although, Rocco,
wow,
you voted for like 30 teams, so that kind of helped. But,
You don't have to add my eight chapters if you don't want to.
That's quite all right. Teams that did not make the top 10 but did get some love here. We included Sam Houston, Dayton, UAB, Bradley, Eastern Washington, Liberty, Furman, St. Louis, Marshall, UC Irvine. All getting a little bit of love, but our actual top 10. Number 10, we've got Hofstra.
Hofstra, the pride into the top
pride
10.
Coming in there, you know. They beat College of Charleston.
Yeah.
At number 9, we got Utah Valley. We just discussed them in the WAC.
Yeah, they're good.
At number 8, VCU, leading the way in the A-10 right now. Rocco doesn't even think they're one of the top 25 teams in the nation. But that's we had a little fun on Twitter with that. Yeah,
they hit a buzzer beater tonight to win. They would have easily been out of the top 10.
Yeah, it was one of the top teams in the state of Rhode Island behind Providence.
UC Santa Barbara, we love them. We talked about them in the Big West there. It's number 7. Yeah. Number 6, we got that North Texas team. Number 5, Drake
away
in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah.
Two-way tie for third between Kent State leading the MAC and
Southern Miss moving up the pole. Yeah.
At number 2, we've got College of Charleston sitting there. Number 2 overall of the top 10. They were in the top 25, not even under the radar. Now number 2. Number 1 team under the radar, though, for February 15th. It is Oral Roberts.
Wow.
Undefeated in conference play, now number 1 and the most dangerous under the radar team outside of Florida Atlantic right now.
Yeah.
On that note, let's go to any final thoughts here. Dorman, let me start with you.
Yeah, if you noticed a trend while we were going through a lot of these conference under the radar conferences that I just don't like and I'd like to go away from them. We talked about some teams at the bottom of these conferences not getting invited to the tournament. Conferences with 11, just taking the top 8. Conference tournament, college basketball to me is everyone got one last chance to make their run. So the tournament, the NCAA double tournament was a shot for everyone in college basketball. And I feel like when one or two of the conferences started to eliminate a few of their bottom teams, a few of the other conferences said, okay, if they're doing it, we can do it. And it just caught on too much. I like the conferences. I know it's not a financial moneymaker. It's a loser for most of the under the radar, especially in the first rounds. But even put them on campuses. If the first round, it has to be an away game and a home game, so play it. Let everyone in the conference tournament.
Absolutely. I like the idea of the inclusion, although I also like the idea of giving an advantage to your regular season champions. So there's got to be a balance there, but absolutely. Stalika.
You mentioned buzzer beaters, and I don't think we went over this on Monday, but going back to the Big Sky had to be one of the more incredible finishes between Northern Arizona and
Portland State.
Northern Arizona hit what appeared to be a game winner initially, but they go to replay and they put 0.4 seconds back on. And what does Portland State do? They throw the ball the length of the court, make a great catch, hit a fadeaway, and completely stun the Northern Arizona faithful. So definitely one shining moment for the Vikings this year.
Yeah, that is the highlight. That was maybe the best buzzer beating finish of the entire season.
Because you thought you got two.
You had two. Rocco.
Final thought is I'll start with Southern Miss. 9 straight wins. We talked about them just a little bit ago when we talked about the Sun Belt. The game against Louisiana was the 5th largest crowd in the history of the school, which has been around forever. And it's a community in Hattiesburg, Mississippi that is used to very strong college baseball, occasional really good college football. And it's been a while, probably since Donnie Tindall, since they've been good at basketball. But here they are. They built a really strong roster led by 3 transfers, Austin Crowley being probably the most talented coming over from Ole Miss. And I think the thing, you know, I've talked to some Sun Belt coaches about this, is they play extremely emotional. But when you look at their metrics, they're very balanced. And I think that's good because in all types of matchups they may get, if they can get out of the Sun Belt and into the NCAAs, I think they can match up with all different types of teams that they could potentially face. And I just think they're a team, you know, when you have an emotional team, I think those are the types of teams that have a really good chance to advance in the NCAAs because they won't be fazed by, you know, the bigger school on the other side. We saw that with St. Peter's. You know, a big part of St. Peter's story last year was their mentality and their attitude. I'm looking for that type of team this year. I think you can find it in Southern Miss and maybe down there in Texas with Sam Houston as well. Another tough as nails team that plays excellent defense, as David correctly pointed out. And they also shoot the three at a top five clip in the country. So watch out for Southern Miss and Sam Houston. Not only has great stories this year, but if they can get to the dance, very strong attitudes and tough minded clubs.
And drink right. too.
Greg, do you want to finish the show off?
Yeah. So as you know, yesterday, what was?
Sir, Northwestern just hit a shot with 2 seconds to go, Indiana, and they beat Indiana.
There we go.
Out Purdue and Indiana in the last 3 days.
All right, we just went over the radar, but let's yeah.
great, that's great. So, that's so far up there we can't see it.
All right. Okay. Well, as you know, yesterday was Valentine's Day, and I decided to. I was, you know, kind of bored. And I do what I like to do on Valentine's Day is something kind of special. I like to share what I call a puppet love. It's a hybrid between college basketball and just, you know, puppet love with me. And it's just one of those things. And the way I decide to spread this is that I go to the local restaurants and I walk up the tables and I say, "Who the hell is he?" You know, just random strangers. Jeez. And
what does this have to do with basketball? Come on.
Well, I'm getting to that. So I was, once again, Chad, I've been kicked out of several sit-down restaurants in my community. Some people sued. And one guy got particularly upset, and I just started explaining puppet love to him. And I was like, "Well, you can watch if you want to, but you're going to have to pay," because the guy was like a Rutgers fan. He had like a Rutgers shirt on.
That's enough. Come on.
Well, I was just, I mean, I'm just trying to tell you how I spent Valentine's.
Where's the buzzer? How do we get? You know, that's it. You know what? I have no idea what's going on. I'm gonna make things a lot easier here. Griggs, you're out of here.
Well, wait, I haven't finished my thought.
It's okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Finish your thought. Come on, Trick. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, when you look at this, and I just thought that this was a way that we could charge some income for Hoops HD is selling puppet love
okay,
on the website.
Goodbye. Griggs is off. In fact, Griggs, don't even bother coming back tomorrow night for Bracket Rundown. You're out of here. On behalf of David Dorman, Rockamill from Bracketeer.org, John Salica, I'm Chad Sherwood. Nobody else on this show tonight. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.